First, before we get started, I'd like to take the time to thank Pastor Darwin, Pastor Kyle, and the other elders for allowing me the opportunity to share what the Lord has laid on my heart. I was given this opportunity, and this scripture actually woke me up from my sleep. The Lord gave it to me in the middle of the night about 3 or 4 months ago. And as I studied this more and more and more, this verse, prayed about it, I met with Pastor Darwin, we talked about it some. There's one thing that stuck out to me as I was studying this. And the scripture that we're studying today, Acts 9, verses 10 through 19, I was led to feel that it's talking about God's calling. And maybe perhaps not God's calling, but how we answer the call that God has laid on us. There's times in our lives that God lays something on our hearts and we're just not sure why he's asking us to do this. And I'm hoping that today as we unpack this scripture, that'll help us understand God's calling, and then we can see God's calling played out for us and actually see the what happens when we answer God's call. So our scripture today is talking about a guy named Ananias. He was called by the Lord to go see a man who had been praying. The man's name was Saul. Saul had scales on his eyes that he couldn't see. So he was praying to the Lord to ask him to send someone to him to help him. The Lord told Ananias to go see Saul and fill him with the Holy Spirit. Now put yourself in Ananias' shoes. If you know the backstory of Saul, which we're going to talk about Saul here in a little bit, you ask, Lord, why are you asking me to do this? Sometimes you don't always get a clear answer why God's giving you that call, but you need to answer the call. So let's talk about Saul. What do we know about Saul? He was a persecutor, or a person who persecutes or harasses people. He was also an unbeliever, or someone who doesn't believe in Christ. In studying Saul, Ananias, in this scripture, I found that a lot of people would compare Saul to the modern-day ISIS. He was killing Christians. He felt the Lord had called him, Saul, to stop the spreading of the church. So he was doing these things, and he thought that God was calling him to do these. But Saul was no dumb man. He was an educated man. He was very smart. And then also later in his life, Saul was known as Paul. And if you look back over Scripture, what a great many things we have to share about what Paul done in Scripture and what Paul done for the Lord. So let's dive into the Scripture now. Acts 9, verses 10 through 19. If you have your Bibles, iPads, Android, whatever you have. Verse 10. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias? Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he had been praying. In a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias come and place his hand on him and restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered him, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he comes here from the chief priest and he comes here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up, was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Let us pray. Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the day. Lord, we thank you for the scripture that we have seen today, Lord, and what it means to us for us to follow. Father, I pray as we unpack this scripture that you open our hearts and our minds to what we have to study and what you've laid on my heart for you to share, for me to share. Father, I just pray that it falls on fertile ground and that we take it all and we use it when we leave this building. Father, I pray for us in your name. Amen. Verse 9, as I was studying, stuck out to me. The Lord told Ananias to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he has been praying. Many of us pray daily, nightly, to the Lord, asking for things. But this is someone that's not praying to the Lord. This is something that the Lord is commanding someone to do. And as I was unpacking the scripture and diving in, Matthew 7:7 came to mind. And it says this in Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you." So Saul is praying so that he can see. And the Lord has sent him someone to help him with that. So as I was sitting here unpacking this, I'm like, man, this is a great example of the power of prayer. We see in the scripture that Saul asked for help and the Lord grants him the help that he needs. So if you've ever doubted the power of prayer, here's a great example of it. And as I went more and more deeper into it, I looked at Acts 9, verse 15. "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go.'" Key word there, go. "This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." What's one thing that the Lord proclaims each and every one of us to do, or commands us to do? Go forth and make disciples. We see it played out here when the Lord tells Ananias to go and be with Saul. Go and spread my love for other people. Matthew 28, "Therefore go and make disciples for all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So right there, Saul is answering the call of God by saying, go. Or Ananias, excuse me. Ananias is answering the call of God by saying, go and see Saul. Acts 9:15, just one phrase in this scripture stuck out to me as I was studying, praying, and reading. The bottom last sentence there in red, "He sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit, that is a great thing that we're all blessed to have after we take the Lord into our lives. We're all powered by the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, we can do anything. Anything can be accomplished through the Holy Spirit. So as I was unpacking the scripture and praying, and the Lord led me to Romans 8:11. "And if the Holy Spirit of him who rose Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." The power of the Holy Spirit. What a great tool that we have as Christians. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We've seen the power of the Holy Spirit laid out in many things. We see the power of the Holy Spirit laid out whenever churches grow. We see the power of the Holy Spirit played out whenever we spend time with someone and they come to Christ. We fill them with that Holy Spirit. Here's a question Aren't we all kind of like Ananias? Doesn't the Lord sometimes lay something on our hearts that doesn't make any sense to us whatsoever? Put yourself in Ananias' shoes. Okay, Brian, yes, Lord. I want you to go to Syria and meet with the leader of ISIS and pray with him. You want me to do what? You want me to go, what? What do you want me to do? I want you to go and meet with the leader of ISIS and pray with him. Now go. Okay, Lord. Brian, yes, Lord. I want you to go to North Korea and meet with Kim Jong-un and pray with him. Hang on a second. Wait, well, wait a minute. You want me to go and do what now? You want me to go and meet with him and pray with him? Yeah, meet with him and pray with him. Wow. Okay. Those are just some examples of what the Lord can command us to do. Now, a real life example I'll give you. Probably about 2 years ago now, I would say, Pastor Tim was giving the announcements in the morning, and he said they were starting an elder apprenticeship program. Anyone interested can come see him or one of the elders. My ears kind of perked up, and I'm like, wow, you know, that sounds interesting. So I went home and prayed about it for a couple weeks. Got a clear sign that that's something that I would like to do. Came back to church the next week then after that, and I found my buddy Daryl. I said, Daryl, the Lord laid on my heart that I'd like to take part in the elder apprenticeship program. Oh, okay, well, I'll let the other elders know, you know, we'll pray about it. And then I think I surprised him when I said, I'd like for you to mentor me too. He's like, whoa, wait a minute, I don't know. He said, I'll have to pray about that. I said, okay, that's fine. So a couple weeks went by, and I got a phone call on a Saturday morning, and it was from Daryl. He said, we need to meet. I'm like, oh, man, what did I do now? I did something at the fire department. He's going to yell at me or something. He said, let's meet at the church. Okay. And at the time, Pete's Sunday school classroom was down where the kids' wings were, and that's where we met. He had a stack of books about this thick. He says, all right, the Lord laid it on my heart that I need to walk beside you and train you and teach you and equip you to be an elder. Sweet. And by the way, you need to read all these books. And I'm like, okay. So, there's just an example of people answering God's call. And by the way, some of those books were pretty hard to read. Some of them were pretty dry. He's sitting back in the back just grinning, got his hands up. And if you don't believe me, ask Jim, because he got to read the same books. But that's just the thing of answering God's call and walking beside someone. And I'd thank him and that he took the time to do that. And I just hope someday that I can do that with someone. But let's look in Scripture now at some other times when God commanded people to do something and they actually did it. It made no sense to Noah to start building an ark in the middle of nowhere where it never rained. Now, can you imagine the Lord would walk up to you and say, Jim, I want you to build an ark. What? It's never rained here. What do I need a boat for? Okay, I'll build a boat. But just think, if he hadn't built that boat, he and his family would have been lost. And it made no sense for Moses to strike the Red Sea. But if he hadn't, Pharaoh would have taken them captured and they all would have been killed. And then it made no sense for God to tell Joshua to walk around Jericho 7 times and blow in some trumpets. Someone walked up to you and said, I want you to go to Parkway High School and walk around it 7 times, and then when you're done, I want you to blow a trumpet for a while. You'd be like, what are you talking about? Okay, I'll go do it. But if he hadn't, the walls would still be standing and they would have been defeated. There's three examples of God putting a call on someone's heart to do something and they did it. And look at what happened. Now I know that God lays things on your heart and you're just like, man, I can't do this, but we need to remember one thing. And it's key to remember. Romans 8:11. We are all of us that believe in the Lord are powered by the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, we can do anything. So I challenge you today, if you have something that's laying on your heart and you just don't know what to do, turn it over to the Lord. He'll help you. If it's something that you're not sure how to handle it, leave it at the foot of the cross today. Just leave it. Turn it over to the Lord. Because remember, we're all powered by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for what you do for us, Lord. We thank you for being there for us, for loving us, and for always guiding us. Father, we thank you for powering us with the Holy Spirit, and what a powerful gift that is that you've given to us, Lord. So, Father, I just pray that today, if someone is struggling with a call you've laid on your heart, whether it's to walk along another parent, to walk along a new believer, to walk along another married couple, Lord, I just pray that they leave it at the foot of the cross today, Lord, and just answer the calling that you've placed on their heart. Because we can see we can reap the benefits and the rewards of that. Father, we just thank you and praise you for all you are and what you do. And we ask for your blessing in your name. And all God's people said.
If you'll stand with us in the closing song this morning, and the elders will be up here in the front if anyone would like to pray with them this morning as well. I will love you.
Let us pray. Father, we just thank you and praise you for who you are and what you do. Father, I pray that when we leave this building, our fire is burning so bright and so hot that people approach us and ask us what that fire is, and we share it with them, Lord, that it's the your word. Father, I pray that if someone has a calling on their heart, that today is the day they answer it. Lord, and if they don't know how to answer that call, that they find someone that can help them answer that call, Lord. Whether it's a friend, a pastor, an elder, or just a church family member. Father, I pray that you give us all safe traveling mercies home today, and you bring us all back together again, Lord. And Father, we just pray for all this in your name. Amen.
Blessed be your name when the sun